This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 podcast.
And we're back here, second hour. Joe Rexrod on the Tennessee spring game. Did you hear about Jimbo Fisher over the weekend? Did you hear about that? He's not happy. I don't mean to upset anyone that Jimbo's not happy. But he's particularly not happy with the media. Remember that whole thing last year with Bro Bible and all that? Then he took a shot at Kiffin and then Saban and White Bread. Well, he was having his news conference the other day, and somebody, I can't remember how, what it was toward the end, and Fisher said, and I'll quote now, "If it's the last question, it better be a good question. I don't need no..." "I don't need no Houston Chronicle questions." I think we're having the writer on from the Houston Chronicle tomorrow, aren't we? "I need a Tex Ags question." That's Billy Lucci's group. "A good question." So obviously he likes Billy, likes the way they ask questions. But you ready? Hear this. Then he went on to say this: "Sports Illustrated is just as bad." Sports Illustrated. That ain't a good one either now. That ain't a good one either. He said, "It used to be the gold standard, dadgum." I love a coach who with a straight face can steal Bobby Bowden's material. "Y'all give me flack and I can't give you flack? Y'all can't take it." That got personal. Bobby Bowden, no matter, you would, and Jimbo worked for Bobby, obviously took his place. You could walk up to Bobby Bowden and say, "Coach, how's it going?" He said, he would say, "Dadgum, Paul." He said, "This dadgum weather." We miss Bobby, don't we? Jimbo Fisher does not do a good Bobby Bowden.
No.
But he does a great Jimbo Fisher. Let's check in with Chip in Georgia. Hello, Chip.
"Mr. Paul, how you doing today, sir?"
"We are doing well. Thank you for checking in."
"All right. Thank you for taking my call, sir. I had kind of a question-comment. I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Georgia fan, but when it comes to Will Levis from Kentucky, it seems to me, and I watched some of the games last year that Kentucky played on the SEC Network and this, that, and the other, that the offensive line that he had was probably, and I don't want to get down on college kids or anything, but was probably about as bad as advertised. You know what I mean? And
I do.
So I'm wondering if anybody was able to get a true reading on him or not."
No, I mean, the one thing about the NFL scouts, they really like him. If you just watched Kentucky play last year, you wouldn't understand why he's a top five projection.
Well, I mean, I feel like he's got the skill set. I feel like he's got everything else. But I was just a little old high school player. That's all I did, and be the first to admit it. And I'm certainly not an expert and don't claim to be. But I just in watching him, that was just a bad offensive line. And, I guess, like you say, the NFL scouts can get a good reading on him. So,
well, you know, I say that, Chip. And then again, Jalen Hurts signed, what, a 200 – how much? Five-year, $255 million contract. I remember when he wasn't good enough to start at Alabama. Then the NFL scouts go, "Jalen Hurts?" These guys, I don't believe that they really have a clue. We have a lot of fun leading up to the NFL draft. Check back in a couple of years, okay?
Let's see how it really
Yeah, that's what we used to say in recruiting. Sean is in Tennessee. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Paul. Hope you're having a great day.
So far.
Well, I'm just wondering, do you think that people are reading too much into the spring game so far? I mean, I don't think there was anybody from Tennessee's actual starting lineup that played.
No, they certainly didn't have a lot of I'm not sure they had any wide receivers. What you have to read into spring is not the spring game. The spring game is a carnival. It's an exhibition. I believe that spring games now, coaches try their hardest. They try their dadgummest to not let you know what's going on.
Exactly. That was my thought. And then one other question, and then I've got a question about a couple of callers. I have wondered, do you think Tennessee is improving on catching up to Alabama and Georgia on recruiting?
Yes, I do. Now, I don't think there is anyone in Georgia's league at the moment.
No.
I think Alabama is right behind them with Ohio State and a few others. Southern Cal's a program that has really made a lot of inroads. But Tennessee, I think, is on that next tier. They're not far behind.
Thank you. That's what I thought. And my final question, and I'm not trying to become an everyday guy that calls in and wants to argue with everybody, but I'm just wondering, do you think that Matt from San Antonio and Trevor from Arkansas or Trey from Arkansas are related? They just sound like it.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, they both, here's what it sounds like to me. They're both young guys who are full of their teams, meaning that they really appreciate and look at the bright side of everything. But the only thing I don't like is when someone calls up with just blatantly wrong information. And I believe that, I believe that Saban is 5-0 against Bobby Petrino, and Matt was spitting out information. Oh, you know, he's got a great record. I mean, that is just not true. I don't mind enthusiasm, but how about enthusiasm with a modicum of the truth? Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Joseph is in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Good afternoon, Mr. Paul.
Hello.
Hey, Mr. Paul. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Mr. Paul. Hello?
Next. Was I not behaving properly, Randy? I said hello 4 times.
Oh, well.
Are you there?
Hey, Paul. Hello?
Mike is up next in Georgia. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Paul, I have a question. All this talk about Vandergriff and such, did the SEC not pass a new rule that says that there's after January, there's no in-conference transfers? Paul?
Okay, I'm thinking. So we are now in the second window. Is this the transfer window that precludes you from playing next year or not? Is that right?
I think you can transfer, like Barry Alexander, they think is going to Southern Cal. You know?
Okay.
But I'm
so you're saying, Mike, I am not sure. I know that they made it tougher. Give me a second. I hate to give out wrong information because I'll spend the rest of the day trying to explain it.
I believe that the only way you can transfer in conference, like from Georgia to Alabama,
right,
after January in this new portal, is if, in this second window, if you will, is if you get a waiver from your school.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so my thinking is, first of all, I don't think Vandergriff wants to transfer because I've got from pretty straight information that he's making some pretty good NIL money and he's almost completed his degree. And so he's going to put one more year in at Georgia regardless, okay? The second thing is, is that the likely landing spots he would entertain going would be Alabama, Auburn, or Florida. And I don't think Georgia's going to give him a waiver to do that. Do you?
I don't know. I mean, I know two other players have gone from Georgia to Alabama, but those were able to go free of charge. So,
well, they were. If he had done so in the first portal, my understanding is before the end of January, he could have done that anywhere he wanted to go. But in this second window, if I read the rule correctly, and if you have to look it up, I would appreciate you confirming that. But I'm pretty
Yeah,
sure
we are currently looking it up because there's a little bit of gray area. But we will get you the specific answer in a second. Why don't we do this before we try to vamp? Let's take a break. Joe Rexrod on Tennessee, and we'll have an answer for you in just a moment.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. It was a changing of the guard officially on Saturday in Knoxville as Tennessee and the three quarterbacks who will shape the Vols' future. One of them will not be playing any longer, but he made quite a contribution while he did. Joe Rexrod from The Athletic joining us. Joe, it's always great to say hello, and we are eager to talk about your piece and what you learned in relation to Tennessee. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very, very much. I know some people would say, well, Hendon Hooker, I thought he's gone. Tell us how he will continue to have a role in Tennessee in terms of shaping what happens from here on.
Yeah, you know, I really think it's important for Josh Heupel and this Tennessee program for Hendon Hooker. I mean, for Hendon Hooker is the guy now. I think in general it's important for a quarterback from this particular offensive system to succeed in the NFL. It just hasn't happened. And when I say this system, I'm talking really, it's the Art Briles system. And that's what Josh Heupel, you know, switched to. He basically switched from the air raid to, you know, to the Briles system, you know, after he was fired at Oklahoma. And, you know, as you know, Paul, it's this particular offense. I think the spread offense, you know, college quarterback can't work in the NFL. That's dead. I mean, most of the quarterbacks in the NFL were in some kind of spread, but this offense is unique. And there are people out there who talk about the reads and the splits and just the dynamics of this offense that don't really translate to the NFL. And some people look at Hendon Hooker's stats and think that maybe they're inflated a little bit by that. You look at some of the past quarterbacks who haven't worked out. I mean, RG3, of course, had a great rookie year coming out of Baylor and then had the injury and lost his job to Kirk Cousins and never really reemerged. It would be good for Tennessee, and I guess really any program that runs this offense, to have a guy come out and be good in the NFL. I don't think this system, you know, limits quarterbacks or makes it so they can't work out in the NFL. It just hasn't happened. And as you know, Paul, everybody negative recruits, and Josh Heupel's well aware of that. He knows what people say, and he, if he can have one of these guys, Hooker right now, could be Milton next year, maybe Nico after that, work out in the NFL, you kind of erase that narrative from the recruiting trail.
Well, Hendon is gone. We'll deal with him next Thursday night in Kansas City. But what is your belief in terms of the two that you mentioned, Nico and Milton, and what this program is going to look like in the fall?
Well, I think Joe Milton is going to be very good. I think it's unrealistic to think that Joe Milton is just going to come in and match what Hendon Hooker did. What Hendon Hooker did, especially last year, but really the last 2 years. I mean, 58 touchdowns and five picks. I mean, we all know what he did. He should have been in New York for the Heisman ceremony. It's some of the best quarterbacking Tennessee football's ever seen. And I think it might be difficult for Joe Milton to reach that level of consistency. But Joe Milton can also do some things that Hendon Hooker and, frankly, most quarterbacks can't do. And so it's going to be really fun to see if he can harness everything. Because if he can, Paul, I think he could be a lock first rounder a year from now. You know, I think the range of possibilities for Joe Milton is still pretty wide, given the talent, but also so far the inability for him to be consistent and stick in a particular situation. And then Nico, I really like what I saw Saturday, Paul, in the spring game. I think he's got all the tools. I really like his demeanor. And look, I think he's got the right approach right now. I mean, he looks at this year, I think, like a year to learn, to sit, to watch Joe Milton, to support him, to get bigger and stronger. But I think if things go the way Tennessee hopes they go in 2024, they could have a really dynamic sophomore quarterback in Nico Yamaleava.
I'm glad you said it. I will learn how to say it when he starts.
There you go. You got time.
Joe, we didn't see a lot because some of the receivers weren't around, but moving beyond the quarterback position, how would you detail what Heupel has coming back, and what do you think they're going to project to do?
I think this defense has a chance to be better. I think the pass rush, even, you know, Byron Young, of course, he's going to get drafted probably somewhere around the third round. Really good story, really good player, but they got some young pass rushers I really like. And I think the secondary, there's so much competition. I think it's going to get better. You know, Danico Slaughter's a guy I like a lot. I think he's going to emerge next year. So I think defensively they can be better. You know, you talk about two dynamic receivers in Jalen Hyatt and Cedric Tillman you're losing, but as you mentioned, Paul, a bunch of guys didn't play Saturday, and Heupel said like three of them could have played if it was an actual game. But Brew McCoy, I think, has a chance to be a pro. I think Squirrel White could be the most dynamic, you know, big play guy next year. But they've got, you know, they've got others there. They have a lot of running backs. My big question really with Tennessee in the fall is the offensive line. You know, you're talking about, you know, starting tackle's gone, and, you know, Darnell Wright's going to be a first round pick. I think it was an underrated part of last year. And that's, you saw it a little bit. Now they blitzed a lot, and I think they wanted to throw a lot at the quarterbacks, but I think that's going to be a thing to watch, and a somewhat, you know, item of concern here is the offensive line. If they can shore that up, you know, the offense is going to put up ridiculous numbers again. And I think this is a potential 10-win team again.
Talking to Joe Rexroth. Joe, let me expand the scope a little bit about the East, because for Tennessee to do what everyone expects it to do in Knoxville or wants it to do, they're going to have to figure out a way to deal with Georgia. That has been a very difficult task in recent years for everyone, for that matter. But how do you evaluate the East right now?
Yeah, no doubt. And that's the thing. I mean, you look at last year, they obviously finally get over the hump against Alabama. And even if they hadn't won that game, they certainly broke Alabama's defense, right? I mean, they did whatever the heck they wanted to do on that day. And I understand home road matters, but it doesn't matter that much. They played Georgia, and that's the only team that had any measure of success against Tennessee's offense, and they just punched them in the mouth. And really, that's two straight years with this offense. I think Tennessee had a really good opening drive for a touchdown against Georgia in 2021, and then basically just disappeared the rest of the day. So right now, Kirby Smart has the answers to the test against this offense that nobody else seems to have. And I mean, really, to me, I look at it and it's Jimmy's and Joe's more than anything. Terrific scheme, obviously. And I think, you know, the approach he had, which was just out-physical them everywhere, outside at receiver, up front, just out-physical them. I mean, it was a great, you know, game plan and everything, but ultimately they just overwhelmed them with talent. So I think some of that is Tennessee's got to continue to recruit at a high level and just be better at different positions. But, you know, obviously getting over the hump against Alabama last year is a big deal. And those are the two games I look at this year. I think they're probably favored in every other game on the schedule, except those two. And, of course, it flips around, going to Alabama, where Alabama's going to obviously want revenge, and then they do get Georgia at home, and maybe they can, you know, finally make that a game. I mean, at least you do have, of course, changing quarterbacks at both those places.
Joe Rexroth from The Athletic, always appreciate his time. We head to the break. We've talked about Tennessee and Georgia and some of the other schools, including Alabama. We'll continue. A lot more to do here. We'll talk to a former SEC player who's making quite a name for himself down in Florida. And your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Yeah, and welcome back. Continuing with phone calls right now, 855-242-7285. Let's continue. And Joseph, I believe, is back. Hello, Joseph.
Yes, sir, Mr. Paul. Now, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Well, I don't know what happened. I apologize. But you did everything right. I don't know what was going on. Might have been something chewing on the lines. I'm not sure. But I wanted to ask you this. Over the weekend, I was watching, you know, of course, I start out with the Grove Bowl, but then I turned it off as soon as I got to the baseball game, which I wish I had never turned on because I don't know what the heck is wrong with our baseball team. So I do know, but it's going to take a while to get control of that. But anyway, I was going to ask you what I saw from at least the first half. All three quarterbacks, to me, they looked pretty good. So I'm not sure who's going to start or what's going to happen, but then I got a feeling at the end that maybe Jackson Dart is going to start again because he's been in the system and he looked pretty good. So what is your opinion on that, and how do you think we're going to turn out?
Yeah, Joseph, I couldn't tell from that game, and I wouldn't attempt to. These things are not decided in a spring game. They're decided in practice. And if one has not established himself, then it will come down to the first 2 or 3 weeks of fall ball, which is okay. And right now, when you have that many quarterbacks, you know, two have come in, you're probably not eager to go ahead and name a starter, because that just invites chaos. So Kiffin, he may know, but I don't know. And I know that was your question. I'll ask Kiffin the next time I talk to him, though. We had him on Friday. Let's check in with Josh in Georgia. Hello, Josh. Josh, you there?
Doing?
Hey, good afternoon.
Yes, sir. Yeah. My question for you, sir, is we know Carson Beck's probably QB1 after watching the G-Day game. But my question for you, sir, is who's going to be the second quarterback? Who's the backup? Is it Vandegrift or Gunnar Stockton? I saw flashes from both of them. I saw interceptions from both of them. But I just feel like it's a really close battle. What do you think, sir?
Yeah, I don't – I mean, that you're talking about splitting hairs now, and Gunnar Stockton's always had my favorite quarterback name. So yeah. I would give him the job based on that alone. But so what do you do if you're Kirby Smart? You get back to what I said a minute ago about Ole Miss. Can you afford, or are you just willing to go ahead and tell one or the other that they're about to be the third string quarterback? And by the way, if you tell somebody they're the third string quarterback, what do you think is going to happen?
Right. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't the good old days of like 3 years ago when you can afford to keep everybody on your roster. So that's a decision the coaches have to make. They know that. And I would also advise you this. Don't get hung up on the stars that these guys had when they showed up. They don't matter anymore. And, let's say theoretically Gunnar Stockton leaves and some schools say, hey, we just got a five-star. Well, not really. He was a five-star in high school. And so much of that depends on where you play and the hype right. that goes in. And if you sign with Georgia, is your stock higher than if you sign with Southern Miss? Of course it is. So, I mean, back to your question, I don't know the answer. I wish I did. Do you know the answer, Ray?
No, I sure don't.
Don't you think Gunnar ought to be the guy, though?
Might as well.
I mean, Gunnar versus Brock?
It's a good-sounding name.
Don't they already have a Brock on the team?
I'm sure.
Brock to Brock sounds kind of weird. Charlie is in Texas. Hello, Charlie.
Hello, Paul. How's it going today?
Charlie, we're doing well. Thank you.
Hey, Paul, I know you're not too much of a A&M homer, but I'd just like to
about to be one, though.
See what you think. I think that A&M's defensive line will be the best in the SEC this next year. What do you think, Paul?
I think they're going to be good. Yeah, they could be. Charlie, I am pretty high on A&M right now. In spite of everything, to me, that recruiting class from last year matters a great deal. And there were moments last year that A&M looked good. They weren't consistent. There were some utterly bizarre play selections, such as the end of the Alabama game. But I think you're dead on about the defense. And I expect you look at that schedule, tricky game against Miami. But after that, they could creep up on Alabama there on October 7th and create quite a scene once again at Kyle Field. Gerald is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Gerald.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you, man. It's been a minute.
Thank you.
Hey, I was just wanting to tell Matt, I looked up at Bobby Petrino, Nick Saban thing, and, you know, Petrino had some success at Arkansas. It said had a 11-win season and a 10-win season. But he never beat Saban. So I don't know.
Yeah, no, he didn't. Here's what I think happens. I think Matt has this book of Texas A&M facts. And none of
like
them are accurate.
Like a Democrat book.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, so Bobby like Petrino shows up, and instead of being 0-5 against Nick Saban, he's now 5-0 against Nick Saban.
Oh, they just do it backwards, a dyslexic type.
I think you're right. Gerald, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Chase is up next. Hello, Chase.
Hey, how's it going?
We are doing great. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, I'm just calling and wanted to talk about what are you thinking about LSU next year and how they're going to be looking to compete against Alabama next year once we play them towards the end of the season.
I think it will be a little different, Chase. I think we're talking to Coach this week. Is that right?
Yeah.
Sometime this week. Yeah, that's a tentative plan. The best laid plans of mice and men. I like a lot of things about LSU. Recruiting has gone through the roof. The quarterback room looks excellent. And
Brian Kelly's looking good.
Yeah, Brian Kelly will be with us later in the week to preview the spring game. I don't like the game being in Tuscaloosa because that speaks for itself. I think it's, you know, Tiger Stadium is a tremendous advantage. LSU would not have beaten Alabama last year. So, you know, where are the pitfalls? Obviously, the beginning. You know, is Mississippi State a dangerous game? It's always a dangerous game. Ole Miss, Missouri, those are tricky games. But
I don't know because I'm still questionable about the quarterback position for Alabama. I gotta wait and see what happens.
Well, you're right about that. And the fact that the game is in November, Alabama will either be on a roll or have been rolled by then.
Yeah, I went to the opening game last year in Tuscaloosa against the Aggies, Utah State, and we looked pretty good. But, I mean, there was things that I seen in that game that could have been improved that we never even improved on in the season. So.
Well, Chase, I appreciate your call. I'll tell you what, we're up against a break. If you want to get in, you can get in. You want to get in?
Sure.
I'll sell you a line for 25 cents. 855-242-7285 is the number. We talked about a million subjects. You can start a new thread or continue on as we come back on a Monday afternoon.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back. Some of you may have heard about this. Jimbo Fisher, once again, being the resident Bryan, Texas media critic, had this to say Saturday afternoon.
It's a guy like Bryce.
If it's the last question, it's going to be a good question. I don't need no Houston Chronicle question. Give him a question. Give him a Tex Aggies question. It's a better question. All right. I don't need no Houston Chronicle. Right. I need a Tex Aggies question.
Let
good question.
Let me ask you about a guy who you would like to have had for 30. Bryce
Sports
Foster.
Illustrated is just as bad. Sports Illustrated. That ain't a good one either. Now that ain't a good one either. That used to be the golden standard. Daggum.
Bryce Foster.
That used to be the golden state. Yeah, wait a minute. Y'all give me flack. I can't give you flack. Daggone. Y'all can't take it. Look at that. They get personal. Look at that.
All right. So what's wrong with that side then?
All right. What you got?
All right. Call me crazy, but I thought that was funny.
I did too.
I thought Jimbo Fisher is having fun with the media. And I think that's a good sign. He is toying with the media. Let me give you the translation. For those of you in Rio Linda. Tex Aggs is, how do you describe Tex Aggs? That's Billy Lucci's site. That's that's the site that is the biggest wing of media in relation to Texas A&M. Houston Chronicle, that's the big city paper. Nobody likes the big city paper. They're down the road in Houston. We're the Aggies have to fight for space with all the other franchises there. Sports Illustrated, once proud magazine.
Once proud.
I mean, I say that. I mean, when you were a kid, what magazine did you get?
It was Sports,
Sports Illustrated. Every kid, every young male in America, started in the 50s, 60s, 70s, into the 80s, 90s. Sports Illustrated was a gold standard. When was the last time you saw one?
They still have it?
It's around.
Okay.
But being on the cover of Sports Illustrated was like for a rock group to be on the cover of the Rolling Stone. It was a good song, by the way. So that's what, I mean, I didn't mean to go off on it, but I think Jimbo was having fun. I like him having fun. I wish some other coaches. Which coaches would you like to see have more fun?
Dwayne Kiffin.
No, Kiffin. Kiffin always has fun.
Really?
You don't know he's having fun, but he he pokes the media. Remember that? What's that poor guy's name? John, whatever his name is. Soderhoff.
Yeah.
I mean, he will just unmercifully go after this poor guy who reported that he was going to Auburn, which, by the way, was the truth. Brad is up next. Hey, Brad.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well, thanks.
Yeah, so I just wanted to talk to you about Jay Daniels, LSU's quarterback.
You got it.
All right, so what are your thoughts about him versus KJ Jefferson from Arkansas?
Well, I think they're both really good. I mean, I'm not sure. I think KJ Jefferson probably starts the season ranked a little bit higher, but it's not a matter of who the better quarterback is. It's a matter of who is the better quarterback for their team. I know that sounded like you could have, you know, called your AI app up and gotten the same answer, but I gave it to you. Kevo is in Alabama. Hello, Kevo.
Hey, Paul. I think Jimbo needs to talk to a speech therapist so we can understand him a little bit better. Maybe I need to see one, too. But on a sad note, Paul, did you hear about the shooting in Dayville over the weekend, Dayville, Alabama?
I did, and it was an it was and remains an absolute tragedy. For those who have not heard, there was a Sweet 16 party Saturday night, a bunch of young kids celebrating, and four people were killed, about 30 people injured, one of the people that lost their lives was a young high school star who had signed a scholarship to go play at Jacksonville State. And every week we see something like this, but Dayville is someplace that a lot of folks in Alabama know well, and it's just literally right off the road. And I was extremely heartbroken, as many of you were, to see that news.
Yes, sir. Ironically, Harvey Updike, when he called you years ago, he was out from Dayville.
Yeah, I couldn't help, even though I didn't want to, I couldn't help but think about that over the weekend. He lived over there in that area, which is a beautiful area. And
you know, it's like your idyllic small town America, Paul.
Yeah, and, no, it is.
Just sad to hear that. And that's all I had, Paul. That's my request.
Kevo, thank you. I'm glad you mentioned it. And I'll spare all of you the obvious violence that occurs across the country. You don't need a sermon from me, but the most important thing is hoping that the people that are suffering in that community, that they can find some way to get back. And the mourning for the lost lives is just untold. The untold tragedy is beyond any of our imagination. Thanks for the call, Kevo. Really do appreciate it. Eric is up next. Hello, Eric.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. I enjoy your show. Listen to you every day.
Well, thank you for saying that.
You're welcome. I got a quick question. I just want to get your opinion. What do you think? How do you think Alabama's going to do this year in football?
You know, I'm not sure because I don't have a good handle on the quarterback situation. And that was the one thing that I kept saying. For Alabama to be in the national championship picture, they needed quality play from quarterback. Now, I don't know who the quarterback is going to be. Do you?
I'd love to see Ty Simpson.
Well, you know what? Early on, I thought he and I based this on nothing more than reputation and having seen Milroe, but I'm not sure that's happening. We had a couple of calls earlier, and that would be a big topic all week, but that remains up in the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. We'll talk, obviously, a lot about Alabama later. Let's check in with Rick next. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Paul. How are you, sir?
We're doing well. Thank you.
So, wanted to hit up on about three calls from last week. But first, do you ever get Boomhauer from King of the Hill flashbacks when you listen to Jimbo?
I do. But I don't know. I mean, you have to know Jimbo, and I mean, he talks a mile a minute, but that's just who he is.
Yep. So, hey, first call, I'm going to combine two into one, but I think that that Jeff from Columbus, Ohio, is kind of like the little blue pill for Jim. It sure seems to get him excited whenever Jeff calls in. And then
I'm not laughing at anyone other than the obvious.
And, man, I thought Squirrel had the call of the year until Larry. And the only thing that was bad was that you weren't on TV and we didn't get to see your face during Larry's call.
Yeah, we'll try to reprise that for those. Yeah, I think we have that somewhere. A couple of you, I think we moved on Friday afternoon for some of you. As we're moving on right now to the halfway mark of our program, we thank you for being here. We're not done yet. Don't you dare. Well, if you want to, go ahead and do it.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.